This is Rock and Roll Radio.
All right. Greetings from Jindal. It's your boy Jody. Have not tuned in to another episode of Rock and Roll Radio. Okay, so let's get back on the chronological, back on path here. So you guys are in the studio. You do Grind Time, and you put that out.
Right.
And that was almost towards the end of the original wave of 3D Monster, correct?
Yeah, actually, we were on a Double Helix show, you know, KDHX, little cable TV show.
Right.
We were on that right after Grind Time because we played some stuff from Grind Time.
And that was, what was that show called?
That's on Critical Mass.
Critical Mass.
Right.
And you can actually see, I think I've uploaded a couple songs to my YouTube channel.
Somebody's supposed to put them out.
Really?
Somehow or other. Yeah, there's supposed to be a book, too, coming out pretty soon, maybe with a lot of photographs of the original punk rock new wave St. Louis scene taken by John Korst, and they called him John the Mailman.
Hmm.
So it's his negatives. Cool. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, so you guys, you record Grind Time. It's a pretty fucking great EP, I'd have to say.
Well, thank you.
Some really good songs, particularly Fluorescent Frankenstein. Love that one.
And that was 3D Monster, actually.
With Brad on drums.
Brad on drums, right. Yeah. A lot of time, as you say, we use a drum machine and stuff, but on this particular stuff, was how he kind of actually sounded live.
Right. And, you know, 3D Monster live was something else, man, and... How were you guys received in St. Louis? I mean, I know a couple stories, but...
Well, in St. Louis, we played at a place called Bernard Pub a lot. Like I said, we played with Pussy Galore there. We played with Das Damen. And, you know, it was a great place to play. We went over pretty good in St. Louis. I think so, you know.
There's like a famous... what's the story of Tweedy?
Oh, Jeff. Jeff Tweedy, yeah. You know, Jeff Tweedy, he's pretty big with Wilco.
Yeah, Wilco. Right.
Well, we went out with the same girl, and he had recently gone out with her, but I went out with her before then.
Right.
And, I knew she was a heartbreaker, but anyway, I come up there, you know, I wanted to borrow a speaker cabinet.
Right.
And, he said I could borrow one. So I went up there and, him and you know, they were up there, you know, they were Uncle Tupelo at that time.
Right.
You know, right. Anyway, he was all upset, and I think he was crying and stuff like that. And, you know, I understood it completely because I know what this girl was like, man. And she was, like I say, she was a heartbreaker.
Right.
But anyway, it's like, you know, this ain't a good time. We'll go ahead and take off anyway. So we got down to the bottom of the steps, and all of a sudden the speaker cabinet comes flying down the stairs. Like, he goes, just take it, you know, like that. So I took it, and then later he goes, just keep it. It's like, okay, so I kept it.
That's awesome.
It had Pickle River spray painted on it.
Oh, yeah.
I sold that to Sean Sweeney recently. No, I traded it to him for a bunch of them Grind Time records. As a matter of fact, that's funny how that all fits together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trippy.
Yeah. So I didn't end up with none of them Grind Time records until I traded the speaker cabinet for him. Then I ended up, they were all warped.
You know, a couple months ago on Facebook, I saw that Sweeney found an original Max Load with the cover.
He found an alternative picture sleeve. I only made like 10 of them or 20 of them for Dave Reeves' record store called The Record Exchange.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was called. But, yeah, I made 10 or 20 of them, and those are the ones that were $2,000 if you could find one of them, which I don't think anybody
pretty
will
rare
at this point. Yeah. Oh, another Jeff Tweedy story?
Yeah.
He come up and hugged me one night. We got this these guys named Primo Stash. They had run sound and lights for this band called Trance Logic that we seen over at New Orleans Nights. Or was it? No, that was First Rock. Well, across the street on the landing, it was in St. Louis. It's called New Orleans Nights.
Right.
So the night we played there, we had these killer lights. And the killer, you know, that's the way 3D Monster should have appeared all the time. But we didn't have the right equipment or anything. But this show was so good. I mean, people from all these other bands like Trance Logic and Legal Weapon and Jeff Tweedy was there and everybody. It's like he come up after a set and like hugged me. He said, yeah, Vans from Illinois. I always said we're different. It's like, really, I don't think he ever said anything good about us, honestly. But
there is something about, you know, we live on the Illinois side of St. Louis. I mean, we're basically, you can go up my street and see the arch, but we're officially
yeah, we're that
in
close,
Illinois.
Really.
You know? I mean, you can see downtown from here.
But like, we're the wrong side of the river.
We're so the wrong side of the tracks. But I think that the suburban side of our side is...
We don't follow the trends so much as they seem to do, you know. We got our own thing, you know.
Right.
I like to live in Belleville because it was close enough to St. Louis. You had Scott Air Force Base, not too far away, and it's a medium-sized town itself. Then it's got all the little towns around it, and it's got this big major megapolis across the river or whatever. So it's like you got the best of every world.
Right.
It's a great place to live, really.
Used to be, for sure.
And the climate's not all that great, but today was wonderful. It was like 78 or
something. Yeah, it feels great outside right now.
Right. It really feels good.
Yeah, so I mean, so you guys were from the wrong side of the tracks, and that's something that kind of ties to Max Load, right?
as far as the new release. Yeah, that's what it says, you know, from the wrong side of the river. You know? Well, you got your big St. Louis scene, and then you got your little Hoosiers like us, you know.
But it's like even back then in the original wave of punk, you told me, you know, I mean, the Ramones played here in Belleville. They didn't play St. Louis.
We were ahead of St. Louis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Suburban kids, man.
We had our first, I was a DJ at the first, like, punk new wave club, you know, like, look at all the punk new wave clubs or whatever you want to call them in St. Louis now.
Right.
There wasn't any then. They were in Belleville before they were in St. Louis.
Right.
St. Louis is a cow town. Okay. Put it bluntly, really.
Yeah. More or less.
Midwestern. That's not to say anything bad about the place. You know, it ain't L.A. or New York, but.
Or even Chicago.
Or even Detroit.
Right.
Or even New Orleans. It's St. Louis.
Yeah.
So that gave Max Load a chance and 3D Monster and, you know, all that. Right. You know, really.
So another thing about 3D Monster, I know we're fucking all over the place, man, but, you know, this is a lot to talk about, but you guys were the only band around here that I can remember that had any type of merch. I mean, not only just the record, all these other bands that are still playing in these same bars playing covers right now, you guys at the time were the only ones with a record besides maybe a little bit after that fucking lame-ass Snow Monkeys or whatever it was.
Well,
but, you know, that's a lot different. No one actually listened to that I know of. I mean, fuck those guys. You know, you guys had records. You had, you know, you could go and you could get your T-shirt. You could get your fucking Monster cigarettes, candy cigarettes, man. Smoke one.
We called it Fear Factory product. I'm totally into that Warholian, aspect of, you know, and Ed Roth merchandising your stuff. You know, I was
almost like
that.
Kiss, dude.
Sure,
you guys were like the local Kiss as far as merchandising.
Yeah, I don't think we're really that deep into it. But, I would love to have a toy or something. You know, that we could put out. You know, 3D like a monster or something. Right? Yeah. I love that stuff.
3D Monster maxi pads. Use one,
everyone.
There's a classic commercial. Terry and the guys, they did this 3D Monster TV show, which is fucking classic to me. And anyone probably that remembers it, but there's this commercial and Terry's like hawking these 3D Monster candy cigarettes, right? He's like, 3D Monster candy cigarettes.
Smoke one.
we still joke about it to this day.
I was actually just doing a little demonstration for Glenn Gray because I thought he loves to do this kind of stuff, right? Our monster. And it's like, I can't do this. You know, when you wanted to do something, you wouldn't do it. So it's like, okay. He goes, you just do it. You did it all right. You do it. So I ended up doing it. I didn't want to do everything. Jeez.
Right.
I did. If I had to.
Yeah. So here's what I never understood. Okay. And this is from, I don't know if you and I have ever even talked about it, but as far as, you know, from my perspective, 3D Monster was, you know, ultra successful. Right. And then it's like, I mean, you guys were like, to me, the biggest band in the scene around here that was playing originals. What happened to where it almost just seemed like you guys just kind of disappeared into like
fizzled
Captain
out.
Groovy, right?
Yeah.
So what, you know, tell us about that. What happened, man? What the fuck happened?
You know what? I had a fist fight with the drummer, Brad Martin, is what happened.
Yeah.
I said, I wanted to make money. You know, I mean, the original bands around here, you just can't hardly make any money. So I thought maybe we needed a cover band as well, you know?
Right.
So, and I wanted to get a girl singer just for commercial aspects of it, you know. I make money, you know. And it's like, oh, I'll do the girl. I'll do this. I'll do that. It's like, you know what? I don't care what you want to do, you know. And then we got in a fight, you know.
Yeah.
I want to be accepted. If I'm a leader, please let me lead, you know. I mean, don't fight me and argue with me every step of the way.
Right. Cooperate.
Yeah, to some extent. Try to, you know.
I mean, he should have been counting his lucky stars. You guys would let him into the band because...
But we practice in his basement, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But still,
and his dad hated me.
What's a
we
drummer going to do?
We did a story with the News Democrat, and he goes... And, you know, I brought the reporter in, and we had to walk through a little bit of the kitchen to go down these stairs, you know, to go downstairs, you know.
Yeah.
And his dad happened to be, you know, in the kitchen standing there in his underwear eating ice cream. It's like, that goddamn Terry Jones, dragon fuckers in my house, you know. It's like, oh, sorry. We told you that he was coming, you know. Anyway, boy, he just laid into me that night. It's like, still, you know, why are you giving me such a hard time? We told you this guy was coming over. It's like, yeah, Terry Jones. Whatever.
Right.
You know, that's all I've heard my whole life. Terry Jones.
Yeah. I think most people are just jealous because they wanted to do what you guys were doing. And just for whatever reason, half the musicians around here cannot write music, man. They just, they're stuck on Mustang Sally and they're stuck on the Skinner.
Well, you know, a lot of it is.
A lot of it might be that they want money, but, you know, you can still record some originals.
Like originality. It's like, you got to really believe that your ideas are as good as anybody's, really. You know, I don't, right. I know that the Beatles and, you know, your bigger, major 1,000-watt bands, right? You know, they're great.
Right.
But, you know, there's room for everybody, really. So I don't really feel like I have to follow somebody else, you know? It's just like, I feel my stuff is just as important, really, you know?
Yeah.
And don't we all? All us egomaniacs playing music, you know, our stuff's important, right?
Right. But for some reason, there's some division, man. Like in our scene, there was you that was writing originals, and there was, I guess, Bronx Zoo.
Right.
This is at the 3D Monster time.
More of the metal.
Yeah, but who else, man?
Commercial.
You know, Dementia 13, I guess.
Well, no, the indoor sports scene.
Yeah, the indoor sports scene was...
A lot of those bands wrote their own songs, and I think 3D Monster inspired that whole scene to start.
But none of them put out a record.
No, they broke up exactly when we did. As soon as we broke up
it was like the leaders of the scene.
Like we popped a bubble and they were gone.
Right.
They waited until we started it. We found the place to play and, you know.
Right. The innovators,
we were always
Godfathers.
The first ones, to do anything. And then everybody else would come along and then put us down. And then as soon as we it's like, well, you guys got it now. Take over. It's like, okay, we quit. It's like, why did you quit? You had the whole scene yourself there. Oh, well, you know.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, 3D Monster just kind of, it seemed like just kind of almost just drifted away. And then you were kind of making money.
I just could not get along with Brad Martin, honestly. So, I never really wanted to disband. And I still like, you know, Brad Martin at this time. But
right.
We conflicted. And I never really wanted to break up, and I still have 3D Monster to this day.
Well, yeah, obviously.
It's a concept, but as far as, you know, that band, no.
The original wave.
It just dissolved, And it was just like, okay, time to move into something that makes money. So I started a cover band called Captain Groovy, which is maybe not the best name in the world, but...
I liked it.
Yeah, and Captain Groovy has a respectable bubblegum, you know, history and all that kind of stuff, you know, that we borrowed. And, and we could actually make $1,000 on like a New Year's Eve. And we played like maybe three nights a week. And we were booked for months and months and months. We had a booking agent. And it was a very fun time of my life.
Right. And the cool thing about Captain Groovy, you know, you weren't the typical cover band. You weren't playing all this fucking bullshit that
everyone
else was
No, we were more like
playing.
Iron Butterfly.
Yeah. They were like heavy doses of 60s psychedelia, you know. And it was cool as fuck.
To Creedence, to Steppenwolf, to Montrose. You know, the good stuff. Like, you know, I thought. Anyway, for a bar, you know.
Yeah, for a
bar band.
Yeah. And it was pretty successful. And you did that for a few years.
Yeah.
And, okay, so that was around the time that we met, I believe, like towards the end of your Captain Groovy.
You were in a cover band, too, at that time.
Yeah, I was actually playing in a cover band.
I think I met you at Indoor Sports when you had the band Misconduct.
Yeah. That's
we played the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah,
my
first band played against Terry and 3D Monster, and we actually won, which was a farce, you know.
That's
ridiculous.
Because our audience had already left.
Yeah, it was
they wouldn't do the clapping routine until the end of the show, and it's like, we're not staying through Misconduct, we're out of here. It's like,
it's like, who wants to stick around for
because
some
right
13-year-old
after
kids?
We played, they were like, they tried to like cheer as loud as they could. You could hear them like blocks away. But he goes, we're not going to do the decibel test until after the second band's like, wait a minute here.
Yeah.
And then they bring on this crap band. These people want to cheer now, and it would be so loud. Oh, my gosh.
It was stupid. It was just a way for him to have two bands and have to pay one.
Have two bands and only pay one, because only one, the winner got paid, so to speak. But anyway, that's when I met Jody. We had a little battle of the bands at the end of the
when I was 13.
Right.
But we didn't become, like, actual buddies and hang out until, like...
I was always mad at them because they beat us at the Battle of the Bands.
That's retarded. But so, like, around the time of Captain Groovy was kind of coming towards its end, and I was playing in this cover band, and I used to always see Terry around town, and I was like, man, there's Terry X, you know? kind of a famous little guy, and we didn't really know each other that well. I mean, we knew who each other was, but we weren't like friends yet. But this guy Joe Wiley, he wanted me to. He was always bragging about how I was some kick-ass guitar player or whatever, and so he brought me over to meet up with Terry and just kind of smoke a joint or whatever.
Joe Wiley was like our original roadie,
right?
And drug dealer,
right?
Right.
He was on the radio talking about 3D Monster back in the day.
He was on KC.
Yeah. Joe Wiley's a cool dude, and I got a million stories about him as well as you do.
And I'm sure anybody that has any involvement with the drug scene in this area knows Joe Wiley, so.
Right.
I don't know if I should be saying that.
That's all right. It's all good. So anyway, Joe Wiley brings me over to Terry X's house. The classic, what was the old address? Man, I can't even think of it right now, but it was on the back of like all your correspondence for years. 21st Street, fucking... I don't know.
530 South 21st?
Yeah, 530 South 21st. That's right. It's on the back of all kinds of stuff.
My dad got a house in Freeburg when he inherited some money, and I ended up at that house on 21st Street.
Right.
And boy, what a drug den it was. I'm just surprised it didn't get the drug of the month, a house of the drug house of the month at the county jail. They have a poster up there every month.
It was a wild scene over there, man, back in the day. We're talking mid-90s, you know.
It was a continuation of our Fear Factory scene.
Right. Just a new spot.
A new spot, yeah.
So I'd start going over there, and then Terry was like, man, since you like the old monster shit, you should teach me how to play some of these old songs. And that ended up morphing into Terry and I going into the studio and recording our first little project.
See, my dad bought a bunch of recording equipment. My dad did.
Right.
I got him in the songwriting.
Right.
And then that's where we were talking about the country music, you know, and the singers. That's how that started. So... if we recorded my dad's songs, then we used his studio to record our songs.
Right. That was kind of like how we got to do ours, is we had to record songs like Quit Jilly Dicking Around. And, you know, some of those were all right.
My dad had his own interesting slant on things, which I enjoyed, you know, working on his stuff, you know.
It was a nice little way for us to get acquainted with each other. But, yeah, so, like, Terry and I started working together, which was pretty much a perfect situation because, like, his, you know, Joe, his original guy... taught me how to play, and in a lot of ways we're pretty similar, you know. You pick up a lot of stuff from your
Joe wasn't quite as rock and roll as Jody is.
Nah, but
Jody's completely that thrust, so to speak.
I'm a lot more punk rock than Joe.
Joe had basically a pop element to him. Yeah. You know?
And I can do that, but you know, it was just kind of interesting from my perspective to have been such a fan, and then my guitar teacher, I kind of take his spot years later.
And I recognized Jody's talent immediately. You know, he was pretty good.
Thanks, TX. But yeah, so Terry and I, we recorded this first record together, and it was pretty cool, and a lot of people at the time really dug it, man. It was called Super Rock Explosion, right? And I think it was one of our... it was kind of a pretty interesting project for us because it was our first, you know, together as 3D Monster.
Yeah, we could explore the things that we kind of had in common musically.
Right. Know,
like glam rock. And we come up with a song kind of Bowie-esque called... Underground Starlet.
Oh, yeah. Let's check that out right here.
Underground Starlet. with the rock and roll beat.
Ah, yeah, man, that's always been one of my favorite things that we've done together.
It's got that riff.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, Bowie-esque, like you said.
Yeah, I wrote the chorus, but Jody came up with that riff.
It's kind of a rebel kind right. of. That's one of our glittery wanted, right? ones. Yeah. That's
sometimes Jody will say, hey, write one like this, you know.
So. Yeah. Sometimes we have that idea to, like, let's make one that's kind of reminiscent of, you know, Rebel or something like that. But yeah, I've always liked that one. So, like, it was cool for me to be doing something with you, you know, just have been a fan as a kid. And then here we are, we're making some new music together. It was pretty cool. And, you know, somewhat different than the old 3D Monster, wouldn't you say?
Like I said, you're more rock than Joe is, I think. And sometimes we think more alike than me and Joe ever did. Joe had an ear, but you're just the rocker, you know. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. I think it, you know, it worked out pretty well for us. But the crazy part is, like, you know, you and I have recorded, I guess, probably, what, 6 records now together as 3D Monster?
I would imagine something like that, right.
Because we did Super Rock Explosion, and then we went into a phase where we recorded, like, probably 12 songs that never really saw the light of day. Like, we did Lori Lightning, and we did the new, you know, Lollipop Girl 2000 or whatever right. it was. And
sometime I'm going to have to go through all my tapes and stuff and just see exactly. Because for a long time we worked with tape, but now, you know, even reel-to-reel tape. You know, we had an 8-track machine.
Yeah.
But now we're a 24-track digital.
Yeah.
We've done like 4 or 5 albums on that machine. Yeah. You know.
Just since then.
Right.
Yeah, that's really opened up a lot of doors for us as far as like our scope of the instruments we can use. So we've got more tracks.
Right.
Why we used to have an 8-track.
Let's play one of our new ones, Jody. Which one do you want to play, man?
Huh. Something new? Let's see. Let's play something off Monsterific. Let's do Plastic Love.
Cool, man. That's the first one I got played on the radio.
Yeah, that's why it came to mind. Right. So check this out. This is the first. We sent this over to KDHX. This is the one they picked as the first one to start playing. It's Plastic Love.
That's got a video on YouTube too that Jody made. It's pretty good.
Yeah, if you liked it, you can go to my just Type in Jody Havnat on YouTube and all my channel will come up. I got a ton of 3D monster stuff on there. And Plastic Love is a video we made. It's pretty trippy. Pretty cool.
Goes with the song.
Yeah, we use a lot of... our videos don't really have us in it. No one really wants to see our ugly asses. So we use a lot of trippy stuff.
It's unnecessary, really.
Right. And yeah, so I hope you like that one. 3D Monster, though, it's a weird beast because it like kind of, you know, it's been resurrected. Right?
Truly it has.
And even though Terry
more
and
than
I,
once, actually, yeah, I think.
The weird part about it is like Terry and I basically are 3D Monster now. And we get together about once a year, once every 2 years, maybe. We'll make a record. They'll play it on the local radio.
We were doing a lot more, and then we kind of got separated by distance.
Yeah,
and he's working at night now and stuff. But I got 30 new songs right now, and I need Jody to come over and help me mix them. So
I will do that.
We're going to smoke some skunk.
We also have just been...
Some pot from Colorado or something like that. One of my favorite states at this particular point.
Thought you liked Arizona.
That's
old school Arizona weed.
Arizona gold.
That shit was good.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, remember he come through to town like twice a year, and he only sold it an ounce, so we'd go in and an ounce.
Yeah,
and it tasted just like the old Colombian gold. I said, man, wherever they're growing this, it's from Arizona. It's like, this is Arizona gold. And then a couple months later, in High Times on the cover, it said Arizona gold.
Yeah,
you know.
And then it looked exactly the same.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that was good.
That's some good stuff. And it really powered our first Super Rock, for sure.
Yeah. Super Rock still stands up.
Yeah, some good songs on there.
We had a live thing getting ready to play live about a year or two ago.
Yeah.
3 years, maybe.
We always decide we're going to try to do it, but the problem is we can't find people to play with.
A lot of songs came from Super Rock Explosion, though.
Right. Oh, yeah. Classics.
Yeah.
But another thing I want to mention, too, for any of you listeners out there that are interested in the 3D Monster shit that Terry and I have done, you can go to Bandcamp and find us and buy it. I mean, it's all on there.
And Max Load is on iTunes?
Max Load is on iTunes.
Right.
The 3D Monster stuff's just on Bandcamp, and you can get the whole record in whatever format you want. So just go to Bandcamp.com, you know, search 3D Monster, 3-D Monster.
And that's the 3D Monster, too.
Yeah.
Right.
And... you know, check out our shit, and if you like it, buy it. And, you know, we've actually sold quite a bit on Bandcamp, so it's pretty cool for someone. You know, everyone's always like, sometimes I'll talk about, you know, I consider us a band even though we don't play live anymore, but, like, we still make records.
So we will.
That constitutes a band, right? Sort of. But it's hard for us to, like, actually play live because we can't find the right people that want to play this kind of music. Because most people around here don't play this kind of music.
It seems like bands have a certain life span, and then you don't hear about them again. Except maybe a decade or two later, and all of a sudden they're back.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
It is kind of wild. And like our last project was Jack the Tripper a couple of years ago, but recently we went into the old Whoopi Studios in Swansea and recorded something. And I think we're just going to do it song by song this time. And maybe we should play that for them.
Yeah, this one's called Shock Star.
Coming to our plan and on the 30th.
All right. What'd you think of that, Terry? It's not a bad mix, right?
Great, I mean, bass line.
It's kind of a rough mix. Yeah.
Jody played bass on that. Really
played
good.
Bass, guitar, and drums on that. Right. And
he's a multi-purpose, all-instrument talent. There he is.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Jody have not.
Yeah.
You know it.
You know him. You love him. You might hate him. If you do, you might as well turn this off right now.
Right on. No, don't turn us off. We love you.
Yeah, we really do.
Jefferson Airplane loves you, and so do we.
So basically, 3D Monster has been resurrected by me and Terry for about...
Well, I think we've lasted longer than the original 3D Monster now, haven't we? Yeah.
Yeah, because that Super Rock was like 96, dude. It's a long fucking time ago.
So, 96 to 2014.
Almost 20 fucking years.
What? Wow.
Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
That is fucking crazy.
It's like 18 years, huh?
Right.
And the original 3D Monster lasted, what, maybe... three or four, just like Max Load.
Right.
Yeah. Live bands, wow.
3D Monster is more of a concept than Max Load, though.
Right.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Because, well, Max Load wasn't really a concept at all. Really.
That's what I'm saying. Like, 3D Monster has a defined kind of thing. I want to get... So, you know, 3D Monster is kind of it's kind of an ever-present thing, but in the last couple of years, you know, Terry's been kind of in Max Load world. And, you know, it's pretty cool that... all of a sudden...
a full circle.
Yeah, kind of tell the story of how did it come about that all of a sudden, you know, Jason's back in the picture. He's going to... Max Load is out. Let's tell that story, because I know it was a long, drawn-out fucking...
From what I understand, Jason was just... he's been putting out stuff, and he was checking out what happened in the original St. Louis, you know, punk rock scene. And he figured he'd put out test pattern, you know, re-release test patterns, which was like a compilation that John Corst and Steve Pick put out back in the day.
Right.
And then he goes, well, you know, what am I going to do with this Max Load single? And these other bands have a few singles, and the retros were good. It's like, and he started delving more into it. Then he realized there was a lot more out there than he thought there was originally.
Right.
So he ended up putting out like 6 records, and Max Load being one of them. Right. But he was originally maybe thinking about just re-releasing the single. But he ended up putting out, like, you know, the whole package.
Right. And around the same time that you met Jason, another thing we haven't talked about, but he actually did the layout work for our single, the latest 3D Monster single, Vampire Girls from Outer Space.
True.
Available on Star Sonic Records. If you want one, let us know. We got a couple boxes in there.
It's pretty catchy, too.
It's a good song, and it's a split with Divine Grave, which is pretty cool. So you can, there's actually a commercial with all the info on my YouTube channel. So if you're looking for 3D Monster, make sure you check out the Star Sonic Prime Directive. Tells you all about that.
Sure. There's a lot of, you know, stuff you can get digitally, but it's always nice to have that three-dimensional object.
Yeah, a 45.
Right.
It's cool.
Yeah.
If you want one, let us know.
Well, this guy sells records at the Granite City Flea Market, and I gave him one, and he started playing it over and over and over and over and over, and he said he couldn't stop playing it. So I said, cool, man, check out these records, and I gave him a couple more. He didn't like them. Oh, but he sure likes Vampire Girls from Outer Space.
It's a pretty catchy little song. We wrote that one real quick.
That's just got that trashy aesthetic
that
we always enjoy. We were just watching a bunch of trailers for like The Wizard of Gore and that kind of stuff, you know. So
yeah,
that's the good stuff.
Yeah. I think Vampire Girls is one of our... it kind of is. It's like a single. It doesn't seem like it would fit on any of the other records necessarily.
The title would hardly have... the original title would even hardly... it was like Teenage Lesbian Vampire Girls from Outer Space versus the Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to cut that down.
Right. And the other side is She Rocks by Divine Grave, a pretty good song that, you know, me and Terry played.
Yeah, we played the music for our buddy Ryan for that one.
It's pretty good. Definitely worth checking out. And if you want a copy, you know what to do. Just let me know. I'll make sure you get one.
Get one. Maybe I'll stick a hard pink stick of gum in there, too, and it'll be worth more.
You know? Right.
And maybe I'll have Mike Yaffe autograph it for an extra dollar.
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
So we got to get back on the story. Jason comes to you, and he wants to put out the Max Load, so... I mean, I was there. I remember exactly how it went. It was like, it's going to be out in 3 months, and then it was going to be out in 6 months, and a year. It took almost 2 years.
Yeah, it did.
But
it took a while.
It was a great final package, though, man. For all you people, you can just go to BDR Records or Rerun Records. You could go to iTunes and get it, Max Load. But if you wanted to really see what it looks like in the layout, go to the BDR site. It's a great package. It's got killer photographs from in the day of Terry and his buddies, and... all the music, a fucking live DVD from the television shoot, and
Rapidly Expanding Universe. That's one I like. And that was me and Mike Yaffe worked on that one, because even in Max Load, it was like I would work with different combinations of people within the band. You know, because the guitarist actually also played bass and keyboards, and the drummer, he played guitar, and Mike Yaffe, he played synthesizer, and it's just like, you know, so I would work with different combinations of people. I still like to do stuff like that.
Right. And as an approach, I think that suits you well, you know? You get different flavors, even though it's still, you can always tell it's you, you know? Like,
that's because it's usually my vocals on there. That's probably what...
Yeah, that's... Your lyrics are definitely...
And the sound of my voice.
Right.
Horrifying as it is.
You know? It's an acquired taste, right?
Right.
I've always, you know, to me, I don't know, maybe because I grew up with it, but it's always been a soothing sound to me. Like,
soothing is not quite the word I would use for it, but thank you so much. But actually, I do like easy listening, and I work with a lot of string type sounds at this particular time, almost like try to orchestrate stuff, you know.
Right.
And what's weird is, like I say, I'm not really the greatest musician in the world, and I try to do this really complex stuff, and I have these guys that could play it in their sleep, and I can't get them to do it, you know. So that's my problem.
Right. Well, 3D Monster fans, there is on every one of our records, there's at least one of Terry's symphonic solo
horrifying
efforts.
Horrifying. True. I think horror is a good word when it comes to Terry X and his cohorts and endeavors.
The Bang Gang, huh?
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah. Oh, that's another one of Terry's, like, what would you call it, like a pseudonym or whatever? Terry Bang. Where did that come from?
We did a song in 3D called Biff Bang Pow by The Creation.
Right.
And, you know, we did covers, too. And Joe was Joe Biff, and Brad was Brad Powell, and Terry was Terry Bang. There you go, Biff Bang.
There you go.
Right. You know, the Terry X didn't always last. And I have to state here, my name is actually Terry Jones, because that sounds like a fake name, too. So,
right.
But I thought of a good name for my bubblegum stuff called Terry James and the Donnells, because my middle name is Donnell.
Right.
Right. And my cousin Mark Busby actually did meet Tommy James back in the day, 68 or something.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he saw him. He met him.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Tommy James, one of the greats.
Speaking of live acts around here, I know it's a little bit off subject, but what would you say is the best live show you got to see, like, as a kid coming up into rock and roll?
One of the great shows I saw, the Fox or...
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet were good, and they had Eric Carmen open the forum.
Oh, yeah.
But the best show I've probably ever seen in my life, Red Cross and 45 Grave, my two favorites.
Yeah.
Both LA bands.
Right.
You know, LA, I have an affinity for LA.
Big time.
Yeah, definitely.
Going back to Morrison, right?
Morrison, I loved Morrison in 1968.
Birds. Everything.
Yeah, they all had that string thing too. They like strings and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas San Francisco bands, Detroit bands, New York bands, not so much.
Right.
But LA always Brian Wilson, Frank Zappa, you know, you name it. The LA, they had access to those, Dino, Desi, and Billy. You know, they had access to the orchestra, the Monkees, you name it. All of them use them.
Right.
Right.
It is kind of I never really noticed it, but you're totally right on with that.
Well, I love LA. I study it.
Right. So how come you never just packed up and took 3D Monster to fucking LA, man?
LA was over by that time. Well, I could have caught the tail end of the punk rock scene, maybe, but as far as anything else, LA ain't been nothing since 1980.
Basically. Yeah.
Not really. I mean, after the punk rock, original punk rock scene died out, what'd you have then? You know, I mean, what has LA got now?
I don't know what LA's
got
now.
You think I wanted to go to LA during the
Guns
N' Roses day? No.
You probably would have fit. You put a fit in because of your long hair, but Brad would have looked out of place, and Joe for sure.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
The long hair went better around here.
Yeah.
I didn't have so much competition. I would have been competing with Axl Rose there. They'd go, hey, you look like Axl Rose. I go, I'm more like Axl Grease. Yeah. No, I didn't care for the LA. I mean, LA, yeah, punk rock LA punk, yeah, I love it. LA 60s pop, yeah, I love it. Right. Nothing else really before, right. After that. Glitter, all that was great. Up to 1980, you know.
Right. I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, I know all the little soap opera bits about Dino, Desi, and Billy and the Beach Boys and, you know, Party Beer and the Raiders and, you know, the Seeds. And I just know all the background. I just love that scene.
Right.
All together, you know.
Right.
Definitely.
I always thought it was kind of weird just from the outside, like knowing how much you're into all the 60s and stuff. But yet, the music that we make or Max Loaded made or on film, none of it really... I mean, you'll have flavors of it from time to time, but it's always such a completely different animal.
It's a different year. I don't really try to not sound like the year I am.
Right.
I don't try to go back like some people I know that, you know, try to emulate that time period or something. I just let it influence me. You know, I love it. I immerse myself in it, but whatever comes out of me is what comes out of me.
Right.
You know? So I guess I was more punk rock, you know, than 60s psych. You know?
Yeah.
Even though there's elements of 60 psych.
Definitely.
It, sure.
Definitely. Another thing I wanted to talk about, too, on this thing was, you know, you've been writing books and shit. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I have a children's book. Well, I wouldn't call it, you know, preteen, you know, that kind of age group or something called Mystery of the Creepy Old House. And that's really based on those Scholastic type books, you know, like Encyclopedia Brown or Brains Benton or, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like got like the kid scientist and his buddy, you know,
right.
And that kind of stuff. And that was one of my books. And then I did a comic book and a video for those same characters. And, you know, I work on comic books as well.
Yeah, like Space Zone X.
Space Zone X, exactly. Right.
That all comes with the X tag. I love that part of it.
X is just the letter, you know, honestly. I mean, what letter is better than X?
I don't know.
There is no letter better than X. I mean, X, the man with the X-ray eyes, you know, X marks the spot, Dimension X, you know.
Right. What's for the future of Terry X, dude?
I'm just ready to, you know, keep on bringing the rock, you know, just like our friend Paige.
Yeah,
of Paige. Sleepy Kitty says, you know, she brought the rock to Channel 2. You know?
Right.
All right.
It's just such a strange... I was thinking about that the other day. It's like, you influenced me, and then I started the second wave of punk rock scene around here. And
now
then
Paige is the third, right?
Yeah, and Paige was in the Have-Nots with me, and I taught her. So it's like 3D Monster is still... Like, she was a 3D Monster fan, too, because of me, and I turned her on to that. But it's like, your original influence, I've passed on to other people that are making killer music here in the city right now.
It's funny how rock and roll works like that. You know, basically, it's just like everybody influences everybody else. Because I think Paige is great with her noise rock.
Right.
She's a Marilyn Monroe of noise rock.
Right.
Right.
Sleepy Kitty, definitely check them out. I played them on a past episode of Rock and Roll Radio. And I think she's something to be proud of,
St. Yeah. Louis. You know,
it's like...
And she's from Illinois.
And I'm extra proud of her because I taught her how to play.
There you go.
Know? I mean, she probably would have done it without me. But
she was beautiful back in those days, too.
Yeah. It was creepy.
I shot a video for the Have-Nots, and she was in the band.
Telling you right now, when she was in the Have-Nots, she was like probably 14, and we never had so many creepy dudes at the shows as we did when Paige was in the band,
including me.
But like, anyways, but yeah, it's like not only Slate, I mean, not only Paige, but like, you know, Lumpy and the Dumpers are covering Max Load, and they were kind of in the scene watching the Have-Nots.
And Trauma Harness, don't forget they did a Max Load full tribute set. Band, yeah,
right.
Thing and they played the best songs. They got them off the DVD and everything. They didn't just take the typical Bubba the Vicky, you know, Max
X-Rod and everything.
Yeah, all that. Even though they did play X-Rod with the guy from Lumpy and Dumpers singing. I sent him a X-Rod print.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, when Jason was doing the stuff, I got into Max Load again. I made a little, you know, in case he wanted something like that. I made Jason a X-Rod, you know,
yeah.
Collage.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I sent that to sent it to him.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
It's just pretty cool that, I mean, yeah, none of us have really made any money in this scene, but there is a kind of like, I don't know if what you would call it. You're almost like the elder statesman almost of the scene.
I feel like I've made my mark.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it. Like, you definitely made your mark, and like, not only made your mark, but inspired others to kind of pick up.
That's a nice thing. It really is.
Yeah, it's know? Like you inspired others to pick it up, including myself, you know, and then. It's just cool, man.
That's all I've ever been into my whole life, so that really is gratifying to me
right.
to to have people that enjoyed it and, you know, carry it on, the same traditions, you know.
Right.
Kind of.
That's pretty cool. And, you know, there's not a lot of, there's a shit ton of musicians in the scene, but not a whole lot that could say that, you know.
Sure enough.
You can count them on one hand, the St. Louis artists that will be remembered, I think.
And you got to have some kind of originality, hopefully. Right. I think maybe that might be the key to it. Don't just follow what somebody else is doing, but come up with your own thing, you know.
Right.
It may not be as good as you, but 30 or 35 years later, who knows?
Right.
You know? It may be appreciated a lot more than it was at the original time.
Right. So you're going to, in the future, you're just going to keep writing, you're going to keep recording, you're going to keep painting.
I can't stop, Jody. I know. I can't stop.
I think that we need to set up some type of online shops that where like people could get it all in one place. You know, your art, your various music.
That would be nice. You know, I'm kind of, what is it called, a Luddite?
I don't know.
Anti-technological kind of thing.
Amish or whatever. Technological fucking dinosaur.
I'm into the retro futurism, so because that's kind of like where I'm at right now.
Right.
So that's it.
So you're just gonna keep trucking forward, man. And I think there's plenty of great music that'll still come out of you, man. And you know, I'm excited about our new record that we're working on.
Like I say, the more I work by myself, the better I get. But when I can join up with somebody else and work with them, like you, Jody,
yeah,
you know, and your talents and stuff, or your approach, it just adds another whole dimension to it, which is exciting for me, you know?
Right.
I know what I'm going to play to some extent, but I don't know necessarily what somebody, you know, you always surprise me. I always like to hear that, what somebody else can put into it.
Right. Yeah, that's what I dig about working with you, is like, we get to bounce ideas off. Like, the things that I've recorded with you would never come out like if I were recording by myself.
And, you know, you always seem to, you know, I've worked with a lot of people that didn't necessarily appreciate my approach, but you seem to appreciate it. So that right. makes it better for me when somebody's actually enjoying what I'm putting out there.
Right. Know? Yeah, I'm a fan for sure.
Good.
You know, always have been, always will be.
Yeah, I think you're a great guitarist, a great musician, period. So, you know.
Thanks, man. But yeah, we got to just make sure people know, man, 3D Monster is alive and well, and we're going to keep working. And you can find our stuff on Bandcamp.com, and you can find us on YouTube. And if you want one of our singles, just get at me somehow. You know how to get at me.
Get to Jody, because this guy has the footage of the UFO that was above O'Fallon that night. It was, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
It is on my channel as well.
Check that out. Now, that isn't fake either. That's real.
No, that's real.
Yeah. That's the same one I think that cop was chasing through Illinois that one
Could
night.
Could have been. Yeah. Made a return appearance. Yeah, it's trippy. They even mentioned 3D Monster on that little scene. On
and
the
said
Travel
Jody
channel.
Was the lead singer of 3D Monster. Well, I don't care what they say about it, as long as they get the name right.
Anyone that knows it's you.
Yeah, sure.
But they didn't know. They didn't ask me. They just said that. You know,
one time Joe Wiley goes, "Didn't you say that any publicity is good publicity?" It's like, yeah, I wish I hadn't told you that, you know, because that's not necessarily true.
Right. So I think of all the projects you have done, and it's not just because I'm biased, because I've been a part of it, but 3D Monster has always been my favorite. And I know that you're getting a lot of accolades right now about Max Load, which is awesome. And I like Max Load a lot, too. But 3D Monster is more up my alley. And even though I'm
Monster
a punk
was
rock
a more,
guy.
More, defined concept. It just, as you know, I mean, it's lasted for 20 years now already.
Right.
And Max Load just couldn't last that long. It didn't have that right. It didn't have the legs.
I hear you. You know. I think a lot of the Max Load problem was that you didn't have people on the right page with you.
We weren't on the same wavelength at all.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody wanted to lead their own band, basically. You know, that happens a lot. But with me and you, it's just like, well, you want me to be the leader of 3D Monster, and you just want to put in what you do. You
right.
Know? And that works.
Yeah, it does work.
If we had like a drummer, well, I'd have to play bass again. I don't want to do that. But we need a bass player and a drummer. Then we could rock out.
Yeah. I mean, it's not out of the question that we may play live again sometime. But
I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going to happen, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to go out there with my walker, unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah. If I can let go of that for a minute, I'll try to strum a few chords. There we go.
Coming soon, 3D Monster tours the retirement home circles.
And you know it, baby. That's right. Okay. You put on that blue rinse. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I think we're going to wrap this one up, man. I think there's been plenty of info for the people. How about, we haven't played anything off of Illusion of Space, one of my favorite records we've done. I think I'm going to play him a little bit of a Cement Mixer.
Right on. Mix it up.
Oh, yeah. So that was Cement Mixer. One of our more recent songs. But, man, I've always liked that one because I love the lyric, you know,
yeah, skin for all you industrial witches in the audience.
Right. All right, Rock and Roll Radio listeners. That was my interview with Terry X, good friend, bit of a legend around here, and had a really good time with that. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Stay tuned to Rock and Roll Radio. We got a whole lot of cool shit coming your way, including roundtables on some of my favorite records, interviews with cool people, and just a lot of good music. So thanks for listening.